All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. Nice to see you all. My name is Ken Moore. I am one of the developers of the PCBSD project, which is based upon FreeBSD. Today, I'm going to talk specifically about how to install and manage applications within a PCBSD system. A lot of the stuff I'm going to discuss will also work on plain FreeBSD. I'll have a summary at the end saying, okay, what stuff is PCBSD specific and what stuff will also work on FreeBSD. But since PCBSD is based on FreeBSD, at its core, as soon as you open up a terminal, you're running a FreeBSD system, almost all of this is going to work for either of them. All right, so the first question we always get, especially at Linux conferences like this, is, well, what is PCBSD? And the easiest way to describe it is that it is FreeBSD simplified. FreeBSD is not another Linux distro. It is as close as you can get to Unix. It is a complete operating system on its own. It is not a kernel plus packages. It literally is everything. The kernel and the user land all is a self-contained system, and then third-party packages are added on after that in a different area on the system. So all the packages are completely optional to the OS, not integrated into it. All right, and then PCBSD comes along and says, okay, FreeBSD is a great system. Let's try and make it easier to use. If you download the FreeBSD ISOs that are available online, you'll be presented with a very ugly ASCII installer with almost no options in it, and you find out that if you want to use, for instance, ZFS on FreeBSD, you're going to have to get on another computer, open up the handbook, and read through 10 to 15 pages of how to manually create ZFS data sets on your system, set it up on the hard drive, and you got to do it all from the command line within the installer. PCBSD says, that's way too complicated. We just need a simple graphical installer. It gives you an option of, oh, you want to set up ZFS. Okay, you want to put it on that partition? Okay. And it will automatically set it up and configure it all for you. So it makes installing FreeBSD literally maybe 2 minutes to go through the installer and then however long it takes to install after that, depending on how many packages you decided to install with the OS. So PCBSD in a nutshell is FreeBSD simplified, mainly for desktop use, but it also works very well for server side. We have command line versions of all of our applications available as well. Desktop environment agnostic, automatic ZFS setup, we have full package repositories available, the whole nine yards. And then we have a bunch of additional utilities that PCBSD has written, such as I have there listed the Warden, the PBI package format, which I'll talk about in a little bit with Easy PBI, backup restore functionality using Life Preserver, another one of our utilities, and all sorts of just other stuff for configuring and using a FreeBSD system easily. All right. Now, on any kind of FreeBSD box, you're always going to hear people talk about the FreeBSD ports system. And so what is that? Basically, this is the system that's been around in FreeBSD forever. All right, this was one of their really big selling points when FreeBSD first came out. It is a standardized system for allowing any application to be compiled from source on a FreeBSD box and installed into the proper areas. So for instance, any of these open source applications that we have in Linux, like OpenOffice or LibreOffice or something like that, somebody from some contributor, there's tons and hundreds of them all working for this, would say, okay, I want this to run on FreeBSD. I'm going to download the source and just try to compile it first. And then they'll see what little tweaks need to be made to the source code to get it to work properly on FreeBSD, specifically, usually, because the file system layout is different. All packages are installed into user local. They aren't kind of scattered all over the system as happens so often in some of the Linux distros. So, you know, it just kind of puts it into a standardized format. It creates a patch file for FreeBSD against the source code. So whenever there's a new version, they just need to reapply that patch file to the source code, and that should make it work again. And it's a nice standardized system for setting things up. So whenever you want to install an application on FreeBSD, you do it via the port system. That'll download the source, compile everything for you, and it works very, very well. The port system is very large. It's around 25,000 applications in there right now, but it's always growing because whenever there's new open source projects, there's new people that want to use it. So we create a port for it. Nice and simple. There is a FreeBSD Porter's Handbook. Because it is a standardized format, there is extremely clear instructions for how to create a port, how to modify a port, how to update a port, and it's all very clear and easy to use. So if you want to get involved in some kind of FreeBSD system, porting is one of the easiest ways to get involved. It doesn't really require knowledge of any special programming languages or anything like that. Just follow the handbook. It's very simple and easy to get going. All right. What are some of the downsides of this system? It is available on FreeBSD and PCBSD, but it has some downsides. One, you have to compile from source. This is obviously a time drain. If you're trying to set up a system and you just want, for instance, let's set up a web server with, you know, Nginx and, you know, maybe throw WordPress or something on there if you're just going to host a blog, all right? You got to go through and you got to compile Nginx. You got to compile all the dependencies, and that just eats up a lot of time and it's really unnecessary. It's in constant flux as well. The ports tree is not a static build. It is constantly being changed. Time and time again. New versions are being added, new bugs are being found and fixed. It's in a constant state of flux. So whatever time you updated your ports tree, you might have some ports that are broken at that moment. You might have some that are, oh, well, one of those options is broken or doesn't work. You know, there's all sorts of stuff. Stuff could be broken, stuff could be getting fixed, or some could have a fix available, it just hasn't been applied yet. So it's in a constant state of flux. You never quite know if it's going to work, although I'd say 90% of the time it usually just works. All right, and then finally, the size of the ports tree. As I mentioned, 25,000 applications. That's a lot of files just to download to be able to install an application. If I just want to install Apache on my system, I don't really want to download the entire ports tree, including all of the build instructions for KDE or GNOME or something like that. That's just completely unnecessary. So that's one of the other downsides to this, is that you need the entire ports tree, really, in order to actually do this. And it just eats up a lot of hard disk space. All right. It's quite easy to use from FreeBSD or PCBSD. It is only from the command line. There are, as far as I know, there are no graphical utilities available for really building and managing this. There were a couple of them available in the ports tree, but I think even those are old and depreciated, just because nobody, if you're going to be using ports, you're going to use command line. That's kind of what everybody says. So basically, use port snap to install or fetch or update the ports tree. So port snap fetch extract, that'll download it and put it in /user/ports for you. And then if you want to update it later, you can do port snap fetch update. Searching the port tree, again, it's not necessarily so easy to search the port tree. It's just a massive collection of directories and build instructions and stuff all within the ports framework. So really you got to go to external utilities to be able to search the ports tree with any consistency. One of the ones that I always recommend is freshports.org. It's just a nice web interface that keeps track of the FreeBSD ports tree and makes it easy to search for ports either based on name or description or any tags or things like that. But it also displays on any special information for ports. So for instance, updating from this version to this version, there's a known bug with this. You need to do this and this first, and then it will update properly. You know, there's instructions like that built within the port system, so if you have issues. And Freshports will display all of that for you, not just say, oh, there's the port. And then finally, to install a port, you move to the port. So cd/user/ports, you know, whatever directory you're in, let's say www/Apache, and then whatever version. There's a few of them for Apache, like I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think Apache 5 might be in there or something. I can't remember the versions of Apache, but you just go to the port name, port directory, and then type make install clean, all as the super user, obviously, as root. And then that will start off the build process and download files, download source, compile libraries, install it all in your system, and do all that for you. So it's easy to use. It's not necessarily streamlined. All right. To combat that, FreeBSD has a package system. This is a way of downloading pre-compiled binaries of the ports. All right, so somebody else, such as the PCBSD project, has a build server. They will download the ports tree, and they'll simply run through and build all of them as packages. And then on the user side, for everybody else, we can just say, oh, I only want to install the package from that repository, and it will only download the bits and pieces that you need that are pre-compiled. So this makes it much faster than doing it from source. However, there are a couple downsides to that as well. One being FreeBSD, the FreeBSD project itself, does not have an official package repository. PCBSD does. All right, so if you want to do this just in plain FreeBSD, you are either going to have to find some kind of external package repository. There's a few of them available for the FreeBSD tree, but they're all third-party package repositories. They might be the full ports tree, they might be just a couple ports. It's kind of up to you. But PCBSD provides a full package repository, which you can use in FreeBSD as well, and that's the full ports tree. Everything that'll build and compile, it's all available in there. Unless, of course, the port is marked, you know, do not build packages for this. There are a few flags available within the port system for stuff like that. Security concerns for that as well. If you have to go out for a third-party repository, how do you know that the people building the packages on that repository are doing it safely? They aren't adding stuff into the ports or changing things or, you know, doing stuff like that that you want to know about ahead of time. PCBSD, again, tries to take the security concerns out of it by building, you know, a static ports tree, no changes, no modifications, plus in addition, we digitally sign and seal all of these packages so that they're signed with SHA 256 keys and SSL encryption keys and stuff like that, so that they're checked not just for download validity on the system, it'll make sure that you actually have all the bits proper, but also that the keys match up and that it wasn't tampered with, either in transit or in any other way, however you got the package. All right. This, however, because of the pre-compiling, it is FreeBSD series dependent. Now, on Linux, when you talk about, you know, version dependency, you're talking about every single version of the distro, pretty much. You have to worry about what changed in the base system, what is there, what isn't there, and stuff like that. FreeBSD is much more conservative where it comes to that. So it's each series that you need to consider, not necessarily each individual version. So binaries compiled on FreeBSD 9.0 will run perfectly fine on 9.1, on 9.2, on 9 point whatever. It's only when you jump to the next major series, like 10, that you would have to worry about going back and recompiling every single one to make sure it maintains binary compatibility. Okay, so it's much more conservative like that. So it's easier to provide packages and have them be valid for a lot longer period of time. All right, how do you use the package system on FreeBSD, like the command line? All right, with the package ng system, which is short for package next generation. There was an old package system that didn't quite do everything it needed to, and it finally got replaced within this last year for FreeBSD. So all the interactions with package ng are run using the package command, similar to, I think, apt is what a lot of people use in the Linux world. So you have package add to install a local package, and that's something that you already have the package on your system. It doesn't need to use the internet or download it. Package install, that will actually fetch the package from the remote repository. Package delete, you know, delete the package, uninstall it. Package info, give you a list of everything that's installed and stuff. Package search, okay, this is where from the command line you want to search the repository and see if the package X that you're looking for is actually available. That's the one you would use, and it will spit out, yes, okay, here's all the search, all the packages that match the search terms you gave to it. And then package update as well. Once you have packages installed, you don't just want to leave them at that static version, because what if there's security vulnerabilities or something there to discover? You want to make sure to keep it up to date with the latest version. And of course, there's many, many more package commands available, but these are the big ones that you're probably going to want to know about on a FreeBSD / PCBSD system. All right, PCBSD, if you install the graphical desktop, also has a full graphical manager for packages available from the PCBSD control panel. This is just a quick sample. I'm going to do a demonstration at the end and show you how these things all work out and stuff. But basically, we provide two different ways of installing packages. The PCBSD meta packages, or, you know, the big package sets for commonly used things, like different desktop environments. That would be one of the things. There you only need to click and worry about one thing. That will install all the individual packages within that set to get KDE working, for instance, instead of having to go through manually and say, oh, I need that one and this one and that one and stuff like that. We try to take the pain and hassle out of installing huge package collections. We try to get rid of that pain and hassle by doing stuff like this. And then on the advanced mode over there, that's where it gives you the fine nitty-gritty control. I want that particular package installed on my system. And it will also show any current packages that you have on there, because you can just uncheck it and hit apply, and it'll remove that package for you as well. It's very simple. Plus, there's a search functionality at the bottom if you just want to search that package tree as well. All right, the third type of package system, and this is what is more unique to PCBSD. This is actually one of the reasons why Chris Moore founded the PCBSD project, is specifically because he was tired of having to update an application on Friday, break his entire system, and spend a weekend wasted just trying to fix it, and fix all the broken dependencies and updated library versions and stuff like that. He was sick and tired of doing that every weekend for a couple years. So he's like, you know what? We need a new type of package system. So more, I suppose the best analogy for this would be more of like a Windows executable or a Mac executable. It's the application plus all the libraries that it needs, the appropriate versions, everything that the port says that that library needs. It packages all of that together in one self-contained file called a PBI, or push button installer. All right. And what this does is this installs it into a completely separate area on the system. So that, you know how I mentioned earlier that packages are all installed into user local, PBIs take a similar approach in that every PBI is installed into user PBI and then the PBI name dash architecture. So not only is each PBI kept separate from the local packages on the system, each PBI is actually kept separate from all the other PBIs as well. But it's a bit more intelligent than that, because what about you don't want to have, you know, five different copies of the same library on your system just because five different PBIs all use that same file? What about situations like that? The PBI system is actually really smart in that respect, in that it doesn't necessarily install the PBIs into user PBI. It utilizes what's called a hashdir, which is a hidden area on the system. It's completely invisible to everybody else that needs it. There's a daemon that manages it. But it makes sure that everything that's installed from a PBI is actually put into that hashdir so that there's only one copy of every type of local file on the system. So if I install one PBI with libA and I install another PBI that also has libA, the daemon will say, hey, wait a minute, they both need the exact same library. I'm only going to use one and then I'll make a hard link to the other PBI so it thinks it has the only copy. So it's a very intelligent system to allow memory sharing and library sharing, as well as saving disk space on the system between all the PBIs. And one other nice, I don't know if you'd say feature, or, you know, additional feature, I suppose is the best way to say it for a PBI, is that because of this format, you really can do it completely offline. Say that you have a box with absolutely no internet connectivity whatsoever, and you do all your internet searching at the library or something. Okay? You could just take a USB stick with you to the library, go online, download the PBI, save it to your USB stick, take it back to your computer at home, and say, oh, install that PBI, and it will install the entire thing. It doesn't have to go online and look for dependencies. It doesn't have to go look for additional files or whatever. It's completely offline capability. So, because that file contains everything it needs. Now, the warning, PBI files are FAT files, obviously. The Firefox PBI is going to be a lot larger than you would expect for a Firefox package, and that's because it includes all the additional packet libraries and stuff. However, there is also a method of doing delta upgrades or incremental upgrades of PBIs. So if you have a PBI installed, you only need to download the FAT file once. If your system is connected to the internet and it says an update's available, when you do that, it'll only download the delta between that PBI and the next PBI. So if I install Firefox, it's say 150 megabytes to download, okay? The delta might be 2 megabytes, because really between versions, a lot of those files just don't change. So it makes it nice and simple and easy to use as well. All right, now what about the command line? Again, all the PCBSD utilities are available on the command line, just like all the FreeBSD utilities. So here's the command line options. If you're running a headless server or something, we have PBI add, PBI remove, PBI info. PBI browser is the one that we use to search an online repository, actually. PCBSD, again, provides a full repository of PBIs that are available. I think we have 1,100, 1,200 PBIs that are currently available in the App Cafe. And I'll tell you why there isn't more of them a little bit later when I start comparing these different type of package formats. And then PBI update as well. It also has the commands to create your own PBIs. Say some PBI isn't in your repo, but you know there's a port available for it. You can use the PBI make port command. It just requires one additional directory, which is what's called a PBI module. Very similar to the ports framework, how it requires just a couple, you know, additional files and pieces of information for how to build the port. The PBI system does something very similar. It uses a PBI module, which is just a set of build instructions for the PBI saying, oh, this is the port. I might need a couple special options here in order to get it work. You can enable and disable port options. Oh, well, there's a missing dependency in the port. So you can tell the PBI, I also want to install this other port in with it and stuff like that. So you can correct stuff on the fly. It's just a set of build instructions, basically. But you can do that as well to build PBIs. Now, graphically, again, PCBSD focuses on being a graphical desktop. We have a front end called the App Cafe. And again, I'll demonstrate this later as well. But there are two tabs. One is the installed tab. So any PBIs that you have installed on the system, it'll just easily show them, display them. Down at the bottom, any relevant information for the PBI, as well as the ability to launch the application, if you would like. If you move to the other tab, you can actually browse the repository. So if you're connected to the internet, you can actually get on there and it'll ping the server and say, okay, here's all the PBIs that are currently available. And you can do searches for that based on name, description, types of file, types of applications and stuff like that. You can browse through the directories, you know, all sorts of nice, simple stuff like that with a button up in the corner. It just says, oh, I want to install this now. And it literally is just one or two clicks and you can have an application installing on your system and you can run it a few minutes later once it's done. It also has the ability to downgrade to a previous version of a PBI. We usually try to keep at least two versions of every PBI available on the repository. So if, for instance, the newer version of Firefox has something like one of your special plugins that you use in Firefox doesn't work with the newer version, you can always go back to the browser page and say, oh, I want to downgrade that PBI back to the old version. And it'll do that for you very quickly, very easily. And then, of course, at the bottom, it'll demonstrate some just show you, hey, here's some other applications that are similar to this one that you're looking for. Again, just based upon tags in the repository, it says, oh, this one's a web browser. Okay, what other applications have the tag of web browser on it and stuff like that. So it's nice and simple, but it works very well. Okay, creating PBIs. You know how I talked about PBI make port in the module. Well, there's actually a graphical utility for letting you build PBIs yourself as well called Easy PBI. And this will allow you to easily point it to a port, a FreeBSD port, so you are going to need the ports tree on your system, and it will read that and automatically generate a PBI module for you, and then give you all the hooks and tabs to modify or change that PBI module as you would like. And again, I can go through a demonstration for this later as well. But using Easy PBI, you can generate your own PBI file. The module itself, you can probably generate in 1 minute, maybe two, depending on how simple you want to make it. Some of the other tabs, you can add desktop and menu entries to them, so they're XDG compliant. You can add MIME type associations, so particular files are all set, and that's all done within Easy PBI, so that when the PBI is built and installed, it will function properly on the user's system. And again, I'll demonstrate this a little bit at the end. So let's go ahead and look at just a quick summary of some of these different formats that are available. And then we'll start looking at, okay, there's all these different formats. Which one do I want to use for application X? All right. So first off, again, summary. Ports are not pre-compiled, whereas the other two are. So ports are not version limited by FreeBSD. You can use ports whatever version of FreeBSD you're on, and it should build and run just fine. Of course, Again, there are some caveats to that, in that the ports is a build system, so some ports might be known to not work on FreeBSD 4.x. You might require 7.x or later, you know, something like that. But in general, it's version independent because you're compiling it all yourself. What are some of the other big ones? Plugin aware, okay? Say you have an application like Eclipse, the development platform, all right? Eclipse is really big on having pre-compiled plugins that you add to it to make it do different things, like C++ development or Java development or Ruby development, or, you know, whatever it might be, but they generally have a more, they usually use more of a plugin system for that. Using ports and packages, that's not a problem because you're installing everything into what I like to call the system slush. It will see it all very easily because it's all within the same container. That does not currently work with PBIs. PBIs, again, are completely self-contained. So if that plugin is not compiled in with the PBI at build time, it won't necessarily see that pre-compiled plugin on your system somewhere if you just downloaded it and put it on your system. So it takes, there's a little bit of an additional step, few steps that are necessary there. So that's one of the big differences between for plugins, at least between the formats. Self-contained, I mentioned PBIs are the only ones that are really self-contained, a single file that you can install offline. With packages even, while you can install them offline, a lot of the dependency resolution and stuff requires an online connection, because what if you're trying to install some package offline, but it needs to update some other system library? It can't connect to the internet to update that package to update that library for you. So you need to really bring in a huge host of packages in order to do an offline mode. So it's not necessarily as easy to do packages offline, although it's technically possible. Okay, reliability. Ports, I've mentioned a few times that ports, quite often, they might be broken. It's in a constant state of flux in the ports tree. You never quite know if that version or that specific date and time of the ports tree, that port is going to work. Packages makes it a lot more reliable in that somebody else has already done the compiling for you. So at the very least, you know that it all compiles just fine. Runtime, on the other hand, well, it depends on whether the repository does a good job of actually trying out all the packages. They actually install them and test them and stuff like that. Most repositories don't, and the PCBSD repository also does not necessarily go through and test all the packages. There's only a few of them that few key packages that we actually test. And then PBIs, however, are. Every single PBI that is built for the PCBSD project is done on a separate build server, but then every PBI that is generated is actually tested, usually by myself, so there are a few other people that can do it as well. And we actually just test it. We install it, we run it, we make sure it's in a usable form. If so, then we hit a little button to what we call approve it, and that puts it on the repo so everybody else can use it. So this might add an additional delay between version updates, between when a port is updated and when the PBI is updated, because it has to go through that extra quality assurance phase, if you will. But it usually only takes like maybe a day or two. Where they're installed, I've mentioned this, user local versus user PBI name-architecture. And then, all right, okay, available on FreeBSD and PCBSD. PCBSD obviously has all of them. It's a PCBSD talk, after all. What about FreeBSD? PBIs, by default, are not available for use on a FreeBSD system. Packages are, but again, there's the caveat that the FreeBSD Foundation does not have an official package repository. So you would have to go to some outside repository like the PCBSD repository to use the package format on FreeBSD. I'm put no for PBIs on FreeBSD, although if you want to get technical, it is possible. The PCBSD utilities are available as a FreeBSD package. If you point your FreeBSD box at the PCBSD repository of packages, you can actually download the PCBSD utils package, and that will install the command line versions of all of our utilities, including the PBI system. So it is possible to get the PBIs available on your FreeBSD box, But in doing so, you have to install a lot of the PCBSD utilities, which effectively converts it into TrueOS, or PCBSD's server version. So I still say no, but like I said, it's kind of available. All right. Now let's go through and figure out, okay, I have some particular application. Which format, which way should I install it? Which way is the best? So I have a few examples here. Ports. They're best used for building customized system utilities or drivers. For instance, if your box needs some special kernel driver or kernel modules and drivers for your system, ports is probably the way to go because you're going to need your system source code for that particular version of FreeBSD that you're running. You're going to need the port in addition to the ports tree and some other stuff. So ports is the best way to go for that. That way you're sure that it's compiled and properly and works on your particular version and box. Or if a port has very specific build options and you want some of the non-standard or non-default build options, that in that case you would have to enable some different port compile options and build it from ports yourself, because packages are only built with a standard set of options. Packages. These are generally used for any application that would require integration within the system environment or is highly customizable with precompiled plugins. That's a mouthful. So basically this would be very similar to the way you manage applications on a Linux box. You install a package and it gets put into the system with all the other packages and resolves all the dependencies on the system, and you have to worry about dependency resolution and updating everything and stuff like that. And it's very good at that. So what types of applications you would want to install using packages are generally stuff that you want installed by a system administrator, and you don't necessarily want the general user to be able to get on and change. For instance, desktop environments. That requires a much tighter integration actually with the system. All right, it needs to be installed pretty much into that system slush in order to work properly, in order to see all the other stuff. So generally you install desktop environments, development platforms, say there's some kind of specific programming language that you want. If you install it into the local system, then all the other local system applications can see it and use it easily. And then I mentioned the Eclipse development platform. That would be another good instance where you want to install the package. Because once you have that package, then you can say, oh, well, I need this other plugin for Eclipse. There's a package specifically for that plugin. I just installed that one as well, and it all works just fine. It works with that plugin capability of Eclipse. And then maybe any hardware or, you know, system administration tools. Again, more little used utilities that you want on the system, but you don't necessarily need to use every day, that you don't want your general user to get on and access and all stuff like that. PBIs is what you would use. It's generally focused on end user or frequently updated applications. Because of the separation, you don't have to worry about all the dependency resolution, what we call the dependency hell, and updating your entire system just because I want to update my web browser. Web browsers are great to install as PBIs because then, hey, there's a new one available. You can do it all worry-free, never worry about messing up your system or ruining it at all. It's great for end users, those who don't know what the command line is and stuff like that, using the graphical tools. Again, it's a safe method of installing, updating, removing applications without worrying about ever messing up your box. So let's see, now I have some examples there. Web browsers, email clients, games, audio, video stuff. You know, stuff that's end user applications. It's not necessarily required by any other applications on the system. If I want to install something on the system, but I want five other applications to see it, I would want to install that as a package, not as a PBI. Because PBIs, again, are kind of invisible to everything else. They're standalone. That's one of the reasons why the ports tree might have 25,000 ports on it, but PBIs only has 1,100, 1,200. Because again, it focuses generally on graphical applications, although there are a number of server and command line applications in there as well. Specifically for ones, I was talking to a gentleman earlier about PuTTY. PuTTY requires older versions of a number of libraries, and it's kind of hard to put that on your general system packages because it requires old versions, but all the other system packages require new versions. So that would be a good instance where you want to install PuTTY as a PBI. It doesn't care about all the new versions of the libraries that the system is using. It comes with the one particular old version of the libraries that it needs to run, and it will use that. Okay. PCBSD has a system called Warden as well. FreeBSD has a thing called Jails. This is more than just a chroot jail environment like you're used to on Linux. This is a full virtualization but low footprint system for FreeBSD. It is literally a jail. Something that is in that cannot break out, but so much of it is virtualized, even the network stack and everything, so that it is a completely independent environment. People use it a lot for running web-facing services, like running your web servers or anything like that. They usually always warn you, run it in a jail. That way, if your web server is compromised in any way, whoever compromised it can't get out and touch anything else on your system. They are literally stuck in that jail with just that one web server, and that is it. So it's a very nice system. But again, FreeBSD, it's kind of difficult to use. PCBSD said, okay, let's try and make this easy again. They came up with a system called the Warden. There's a graphical version and a command line version. And it's basically jail management. It lets you easily create, remove, destroy, install packages into or remove packages from all from jails, pretty much everything you'd want from jails. And using ZFS, it can also let you do backups, instant snapshots of your jails, and simply roll back your jail to previous versions if you had snapshots available. So if it does get if your web server does get compromised, but you had an older snapshot, it takes you less than a minute to say, oh, okay, take that jail, turn it off, move it back, to yesterday or something, and then restart it. And hey, it's clean again. You don't have to worry about all that stuff. It's extremely easy to use. And some of the big features of it are importing and exporting jails. I was telling people this makes it great for if you use a PCBSD desktop, create jails for all of your web services, applications, your headless clients, export them, put them on a USB stick, move it over to your headless box, and import them back in over there and tell it to run. It becomes an easy way to configure and set up jails using a graphical utilities and stuff, which makes it really easy, and then run it on a headless box somewhere else using like two commands. All right, command line usage for this. Again, some basic stuff. It's all run via the warden command. So you have help, create, delete, import, export, list. Warden chroot let you actually launch a terminal into a jail. So that terminal is stuck inside the jail client, but it starts it up with root permissions inside the jail, so you can actually manually go in and tinker with things and change things as you need be. It gives you all that stuff. There's a graphical interface again. I'm going to try and show that a little bit here at the end, really quick, which I'm right at the end actually. So let's do some demonstrations. All right. And then we'll take all sorts of questions. So let me see if I can. All right. Oh, I will have, these slides are available online. So I have the link on my last slide there, and I will show it to you. Okay, so here is the Warden. I have created two jails here, and there's actually a couple different kinds of jails you can create. You can create your standard jail, which is FreeBSD, headless, no graphical, no X, no nothing. It's plain vanilla FreeBSD inside the jail. And then you can pick different versions and stuff. And there's a ports jail that's kind of like a half jail system. It's not quite as secure, but it's meant for running X applications. So graphical applications, if you've got some weird, very hackish developmental version of an application, install it into a jail and into a port jail and then run it from that jail. That way you're again keeping it out of the general system slush. So you don't have to worry about breaking things in your general system just because you're working on this new application. You don't want to accidentally destroy your system with that. So that's that. And then it also has the ability for Linux jails, and that's just using some Linux install scripts to actually install, I think it's Gentoo and Debian are the install scripts we have right now, and actually install those into a FreeBSD jail and run them using the FreeBSD kernel. It actually doesn't use the Linux kernel at all. So it runs extremely fast, but you get all of your apt functions and any Linux applications that you want and stuff. So it's very, there's a lot of variability and stuff that you can do in the Warden sandboxing ability. And again, so for instance here, I can click on it, I can start it, I can configure it. I can come in here, install packages into it once it's running. You can do all your user administration on here, start it up, check for updates, launch a terminal, export it, you know, all sorts of stuff here. Set up automatic snapshots. I think I did with this one. So I can just roll it back. I think, no, I mean, it must have done the other one. Yeah, this one has snapshots. Okay, so here I actually created a couple snapshots. I can just roll it back and say, okay, there it is. So September 12th at 2:21 p.m. So I can roll it back to that right there and just say, oh, okay, restore to that one and then mount it or whatever. Okay, and then you can also set up scheduled snapshots and say, okay, I want a snapshot every day. All right, and I want to keep 10 days at a time, 50 days at a time. You know, it's all sorts of stuff like that. So that's the Warden. Let me go ahead and close that and show you one of the other ones because I want to make sure to leave enough time for presentations, or for questions, sorry. Package Manager. So here's the advanced mode again. Let's just do a quick search for NVIDIA. All right, there's the first one I found, NVIDIA Texture Tools. So there it tells you the size of the package, you know, where it comes from, the summary of the package. So let's do that. If you click it again, it'll go and find the next NVIDIA one. There we go, the meta port for there. So nice and simple. That's the advanced format. Simple and easy to use. If there's any package updates, you can do it all from over here as well. There's none right now, but you can rescan and then hit apply, and that'll update your system packages. Okay. Here's the App Cafe. So I have a couple PBIs installed here right now. I can launch them easily by just coming down here and saying, oh, okay, there's a binary that's available. I can remove it. I can even set it to auto update. Whenever there's a newer PBI available on the repo, it'll say, the backend system will say, hey, wait a minute, I see there's an update available, but they want that one always up to date. So it'll go ahead and update it in the background for you automatically, if you would like. But that's completely optional, again. But what if I want to go to the product page or whatever? So there it'll move over to the browser for me and say, okay, there's the full thing. I can downgrade it if possible to version 23.0. And that's the size. And here's a bunch of other applications and stuff. So it's very interesting. Very nice, simple, easy to use. Recent updates to the repo, some of the categories that are available. All sorts of stuff. There you go. So that is the App Cafe. Nice and simple, easy to use way to install and use applications on your system. And I was gonna do easy PBI, but I think I'm gonna cut that off and leave time for questions. So what is it if? No, not that button. Okay. So there's the link to my slides online if you have any if you wanna use that, and I will take questions. Yes, sir.
With the three different ways to install applications, the ports, the packages, and the PBI, mm-hmm. are they compatible? Like, can I install something from in ports, something else in packages?
Okay, the question is, what about compatibility between all three of the different versions of installing applications, and are they compatible? And the answer is yes, they can all coexist quite peacefully on the same system. The only one that I caution you about is ports, because I believe the update mechanisms for PCBSD, it will recognize and allow updates to any packages that you have installed, but I'm not sure about how well it is with detecting ports unless you specifically have the option set to register any installed ports as packages on the system as well. So after you do an update, you might need to recompile your ports in order to make sure that to have the appropriate options that you wanted, because it might reset and load the package version instead of the port version. That's the only caveat I can think of between that. But other than that, they all work and coexist very well.
What if you have a package installed as a package, and then you want to install the same package as a PBI? Well, you uninstall the package first, or the installation of the PBI take care of that?
Okay, the question is, for what if you have a package installed for a particular application, and you also want to install the PBI for it? You can have both of them installed at the exact same time. The only real question is how you start up the application, because then you worry about the conflicts about where's the binary located. For packages, it'll be user local bin Firefox, for instance. For the PBI, the binaries are located in /user/PBI/Firefox-AMD64/.sbin Firefox. But the PBI system tries to to keep the separation and make it easy to run. It also makes symlinks from those binary locations to your user directory. So it'll be my user directory slash bin. And those ones will point to the PBI. So if you're running from the command line, it's easy to distinguish between which one you want to run. Once it's running, it doesn't matter. They'll work independently of each other. The real trick is just figuring out which one you want to run. Desktop and menu entries will almost always point to the PBI because the port system and packages systems aren't necessarily reliable about whether or not that port has desktop menu entries included with it. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Okay, well the question is, what about keeping the kernel and user land updated? What systems, what methods are used for that? The base system is run using packages on PCBSD. There is an update utility in PCBSD that will ping our update repository, not just for updated packages, but also for system updates, for new kernels, for new the actual OS piece of it. We have a full system, full update system for that as well, and that's separate from these ones. All right. Yes.
So what I've seen here is a really good looking system, but as a pure Linux user, I see that looks like you're trying to get desktop users, correct?
Yes. PCBSD focuses on desktop users with the server option available.
Just to confirm before I ask my question. So a desktop user is more likely to be using newer, fancier, more amazing hardware. When I think of FreeBSD, I think of servers, and servers you're thinking of reliable and stable, not new and fancy.
Yes.
So I want new and fancy, and I'm sure a lot of other people do, and I can see that I can get the new, updated, fancy application that I want, but how does FreeBSD and or PCBSD's kernel and the inner core work with the new and the fancy?
Okay.
So compared to the Linux kernel, is it the same update cycle? Am I going to be able to use newer graphics cards, newer wireless cards?
It depends, okay? Really what you're talking about there is not necessarily PCBSD, you're talking about the FreeBSD OS itself, how quickly you can keep up to date with the newest and greatest FreeBSD OS. PCBSD takes a little bit more of a conservative approach in that it sticks to the FreeBSD release track. So this is not the development track, this is not the stable track where it's almost ready for release, this is the release track. We have recently started providing the option to have PCBSD follow the stable track of FreeBSD as well. So again, you can get and keep up with the latest versions of FreeBSD with all the new kernel updates and driver updates and stuff, but that comes with the caveat that more stuff is going to be broken.
So
all right, you have to be warned about that. What was that?
So if I go buy something new that's not a 486, is this going to work?
PCBSD requires a 64-bit operating system, AMD 64, and it also installs by default onto ZFS file systems, so it has all the ZFS goodies. And there's a talk later today about ZFS if you want to know about that. Okay. How much time we got? 2 minutes. Okay. Was there another question back there? What systems do the developers use? Are you talking about hardware? I am running an AMD CPU, and NVIDIA graphics are the recommended graphics cards at the moment. In FreeBSD, because, as you mentioned, is more server-focused, they do lag behind in the drivers for graphics cards, specifically Intel and ATI. However, with the new version of FreeBSD that is in development and should be out in the stable branch here soon, FreeBSD 10, they have the new kernel mode setting available for FreeBSD, which is supposed to bump up the Intel and ATI support drastically. So right now, your best bet is NVIDIA graphics cards. Intel, kind of, you know, it's very hit or miss as to which Intel cards are supported right now. But coming up here soon, if you use the PCBSD branch for stable stuff, you should be able to pull in FreeBSD 10 with a lot of the new improvements for those, and you'll get a lot better support. Yes?
As far as packages go, I forgot the name of the directory, but it was a common directory where the libraries would go.
Mm-hmm. If you had app A putting some libraries in there, and then app B putting libraries in there, and then uninstalling both of them, will those libraries be removed as well?
Package-ng has a cleanup system, so it keeps track of orphaned ports. So for instance, one package was just a dependency that was installed because it was necessary by something else. If you install that, there is an option to run and say clean up any orphaned packages as well. And it will actually remove all those and clean up those and remove the excess and stuff. So there are management utilities for keeping track of it. All right, I will be glad to take more questions, but I'm out of time in here, so I'll be glad to meet you over at the FreeBSD booth in the next couple minutes or outside here if you have any additional questions. Thank you very much for coming.